The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
People who say they've had a come to Jesus moment have no idea what that means. One meaning is secular, the other is Christian. Is it the moment that a person puts their faith in Jesus, or does it mean something else? Come to Jesus. It's a phrase you'll often hear in news reporting. For instance, these.
One Metro Council member says public officials need to have a come to Jesus moment over the closure of a city-owned nursing home.
What does that signal to you?
Well, I think fixed income portfolio managers have had their come to Jesus moment.
There were a lot of those we could have shown you. It's in the news constantly. One website explained the first time the phrase come to Jesus was used was 1999. And it was in reference to a moment of sudden realization, comprehension, or recognition that often precipitates major change. In English, that means a come-to-Jesus moment is where someone realizes something has to change. In a religious sense, come-to-Jesus meetings were what revivals were called in the early 1900s. It's the moment a person realizes who Jesus is, and you see it sometimes in the Bible, like Thomas the Doubter, who came to that moment when he said, "My Lord and my God." Or Peter, who said, "We believe and know you're the Holy One of God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Or the Roman soldiers at the cross, who were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Duh. And that's the come to Jesus moment. Come to Jesus is also a phrase found in Hebrews 12. That's where we're continuing our study. Hebrews 12:24 says, "You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people." And we're going to look at it, but we have a choice nowadays between fear and faith, death and life, law or grace. Hebrews 12 describes the old way of coming to God as flaming fire, darkness, terror, and death. We'll read the scriptures. But there's a new way described as joyful, perfection, forgiveness, and it's only found by coming to Jesus. Hebrews 12 has been an amazing chapter in the Bible. It opened with a metaphor about life, sort of like being a race that we're running. And the first part of chapter 12 covers the how to run or live, what to discard or avoid to win the race. It talks about discipline that athletes go through to excel and win the prize, how we're supposed to interact with fellow runners. Verse 18 and following is where we're going to choose to run that race. And it's described in two options, two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Those are the two most famous mountains of the Bible. Both were places where important events for Judaism and Christianity took place. Mount Sinai is in Egypt. Mount Zion is Jerusalem. Sinai is a very steep mountain to climb, 7,500 feet. Zion is a lot easier, 2,500. Sinai was the starting point for God's people. Zion is the finishing point or the destination. And it's rather wise to consider where our route's going to take us before we begin. It was Lewis Carroll that said, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." And the writer of Hebrews says that there's two different roads, and they're going to end in different places. One requires personal perfection under the law. The other gives God's grace to get us over the finish line. And many have a different philosophy on finding happiness, like the song you remember.
Climb every mountain, search high and low. Follow every byway, every path you know. Climb every mountain, ford every stream. Follow every rainbow till you find find your dream.
That's a pretty song, but an insane philosophy. You're going to go every mountain, every path, every stream, every rainbow till you find your dream. That sort of philosophy ends with a nightmare. Now, the roads that are offered in the Bible, one road leads to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, also known as Mount Horeb, is located in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt. And on that mountain, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and that's where the law was birthed. It's one of the most important events in Jewish history. In the book of Exodus, Mount Sinai is described as being surrounded by thunder and lightning, smoke and fire, causing the onlookers to fear. But it was the only way to earn salvation. Even today, many people say that they're good with God because they live by the Ten Commandments. We'll unpack that. The other road leads to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is located in Jerusalem. It's called the City of God. It's the place where Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And though most Jews don't believe what I just said, they still give tours promoting that belief and make their living by talking about what they don't believe in. And America has actually protected Israel because of Jesus Christ. In the book of Psalms, Mount Zion is already a symbol of strength and permanence. It's where God's perfection and presence are found. In the New Testament, Mount Zion is a place where God chooses as his home. It's where all God's people will come together in his presence. Zion is the site of the Temple Mount where King David built a place for the Ark of the Covenant. Mount Zion is where Christ, Messiah, will reign. It's where believers will spend eternity with God. One website explained, though, that in the history of Mount Zion, Muslims decided to keep Messiah out of Jerusalem. The article says the Golden Gate, also known as Eastern Gate, Gate of Mercy, Gate of Repentance, and Gate of Eternal Life, faces the Mount of Olives. It allows the most direct access to the exact spot where Solomon's temple stood. Now, that gate was sealed by the Ottoman Sultan Suleiman in 1541, and he did that because the Bible says the Jewish Messiah will return through that gate. Turkish invaders planted a Muslim cemetery right in front of the gate to keep the Jews away because it was considered unclean for a Jew to enter a Muslim cemetery. Jesus entered through that gate around 30 AD. Now Muslims have blocked the way. Jesus can't possibly get through now. The gate is, the article says, the gate is presently considered by Arabs to be their exclusive property. It remains sealed up, blocked off. Muslim authorities refuse to allow Jews to pray in the area. And the article ends with this. One day Messiah's feet will touch upon the Mount of Olives. He'll walk straight down and right through that gate to set Jerusalem free from her bondage and bring everlasting peace. You know what people found at Mount Sinai? The Hebrew writer described what was seen on that mountain. Hebrews 12:18, you have not had to stand face to face with terror, flaming fire, gloom, darkness, and a terrible storm as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai when God gave them his laws. But the early Jews didn't have any options. They could follow God's laws or they could be destroyed. Mount Sinai was a terrifying place when the law was given. That mountain was a material thing that couldn't be touched. It represented a spiritual truth that you can't really personally approach God at all. Only Moses was allowed to touch that mountain, and the sights described in the Bible for Mount Sinai were terrifying. Exodus 19 describes it as thunder and lightning. A thick cloud covered the mountain. A loud trumpet blast was heard. Everyone in camp trembled with fear. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had come down in a flaming fire. Smoke poured out of the mountain just like a furnace, and the whole mountain shook. The mountain and the people, in fact, shook. When the people heard the thunder and the trumpet blast, saw the lightning and the smoking mountain, they trembled with fear and stood a long way off. They didn't dare approach that kind of a God. The Bible says, you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments. So Mount Sinai, S comes before Z. So Mount Sinai, S, comes before Mount Zion, Z. Mount Sinai was a place of blazing fire like a furnace, reaching to the heavens. Black clouds, deep darkness, thunder, lightning, smoke, trumpet blast, the mountain shook, and so did the people. And that's what it's like to stand in the presence of God. John wrote what it's going to be like to stand before God if you don't have a mediator, a savior. Revelation 6, he says, they called out to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the eyes of the one who sits on the throne and from the anger of the Lamb. The terrible day of their anger is here. Who can stand up against it? In Revelation 20, John continues, I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's God. He hasn't changed. The sounds were terrifying. The writer of Hebrews 12:19 says, there was an awesome trumpet blast, a voice with a message so terrible the people begged God to stop speaking. At Sinai, they begged for a go-between, a mediator, to represent them. It says, as the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke. God thundered his reply. They said to Moses, you speak to us. We'll listen. Don't let God speak directly to us or we will die. The relationship with that God was terrifying. Hebrews 12:20 says they couldn't cope with the command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. As long as God was on that mountain, no person or animal could touch Mount Sinai and live. There was zero mercy. In fact, Exodus 19 says, put limits for the people around the mountain. Tell them, be careful that you don't approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They're to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them, so don't even touch the person who touches the mountain. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared, lightning flashed. A dense cloud came down on the mountain, and there was a long, loud blast from the ram's horn, and all the people trembled. God was unapproachable. In fact, only Moses was invited to ascend that mountain. The Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai, called Moses to the top of the mountain, so Moses climbed the mountain, and he must have been scared out of his mind. The law was right at the center of that terrifying experience. Exodus 20:20, Moses answered them, God has come in this way to test you, so your fear of him will keep you from sinning. Well, that didn't work. They sinned anyway. The law only clarified what sin was. It didn't make anyone holy. No one can measure up to perfection. And following the Ten Commandments, like a lot of people say, well, then you better do it flawlessly. James 2:10 says, the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who's broken all of God's laws. Strike one, you're out. Hebrews 7:19 already told us that the law of Moses couldn't make anything perfect. But now a better hope has been provided through which we can come near to God. You know his name. Mount Zion is the only hope that we can come near to God. And what will people find at that mountain? The compare and contrast began in verse 18. You've not come to a place like Mount Sinai. You've now come to Mount Zion.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 20803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
You know, a lot of people nowadays will move away from one place to live in another because the place that they're moving to is so much better than where they're leaving. Well, the Jews had been at Mount Sinai, and now they were offered a better place to move to, both literally and figuratively. Mount Zion is located just outside the old walls of the city of Jerusalem, and some teach that that's where Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples. That's where King David is buried, Mount Zion. It's where Oscar Schindler, you remember that name, Schindler's List? righteous Gentile who saved 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust. Schindler is buried on Mount Zion. The term Zion is used for the entire land of Israel. In fact, Jews today are still called Zionists. Zion is first mentioned in 2 Samuel, where David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the City of David. And David made Zion his home. He brought the Ark of the Covenant to Mount Zion. You remember that Ark contained the original Ten Commandments from Moses, Aaron's rod, and a pot of manna. And the Ark of the Covenant always signified God's presence, which is why Zion is called the City of God. The temple is located on Mount Zion. And David said in Psalm 87:1, Zion was built by the Lord on the holy mountain. He loves that city more than any other place in all Israel. Kind of inspires one to go to Israel. Has anybody been to Jerusalem? Jerusalem? Oh my goodness, I asked that last night. There were no hands. I'd like to go if anybody would like to put together a trip. Zion refers both to the physical Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. We'll look at these scriptures. And of all the locations on earth God had chosen, he could have chosen to live, he didn't choose Hawaii. He didn't choose Colorado and the beauty there. He has chosen Zion. He wants it for his home and said, this is going to be my resting place forever. Here I will sit enthroned because I want Zion. I'll certainly bless all that Zion needs. I'll satisfy its needy people with food. God is at home in Zion. Psalm 50, verse 2, from Mount Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines in glorious radiance. And we sing a psalm of David in Psalm 48:2. You've probably heard it. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And one gets to choose their relationship with God at terrifying Mount Sinai if they wish. Verse 22 of our text, it says, instead you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to tens of thousands of angels joyfully gathered together. And regardless of where we live in this world, every believer in Christ is a citizen of Mount Zion. In Revelation, John writes, I saw it took my breath away, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. I heard a voice out of heaven. The sound was like rapids, like the crash of thunder. And then I heard music, harp music, and the harpist singing a new song before the throne. And I wonder if maybe they were singing, come we that love the Lord, let our joys be known, join in a song of sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Zion is Jerusalem. It represents heaven and all that it stands for. Sinai, on the other hand, represents death, heart's judgment without mercy. You don't have to live in the shadow of death at Mount Sinai because God offers Mount Zion. The cross of Christ is like a bridge between the two mountains. You can have law or grace. You choose. Mount Zion is the city of God. 22nd verse of our study, you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. God's rebellious people wandered through the wilderness. But Zion is a permanent home that we can put down roots. Abraham, we learned about him in the previous chapter, was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. I saw one Jewish website that was titled United with Israel, and it asks a rhetorical question, Jerusalem or Zion, which is it? And the Jewish rabbi, not Christian, Jewish, says we can't have Zion without Jerusalem. We can't have Jerusalem without Zion. And the Jewish rabbi clarified that Zion was David's physical city. Jerusalem expresses everything that is holy and spiritual. The New Jerusalem is going to be heaven on earth. Peter said in one of his letters, we're looking forward to the new heavens and new earth that he's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. John in Revelation 21 says that the righteous will see the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then he describes that future city, the heavenly Jerusalem, is kind of big. 1,400 miles wide, high, and long, talked about in Revelation 21. And it's going to be lit by the glory of God. It has 12 foundations bearing the names of the 12 apostles. It's decorated with every kind of precious stone. It has 12 gates, each being a single pearl. And that's bearing the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. The streets are made of pure something? Gold. And it says in Ephesians 2, God did this so that the future world, he could show how truly good and kind he is to us because of what Christ Jesus has done. The Father and the Lamb described in Revelation 21 are there. Angels are at the gates. The city will be filled with God's blood-bought children. And we can be citizens of the New Jerusalem if we hear God's word. The Bible says faith comes from hearing the message. The message that is heard is what Christ spoke. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, for God so loved the world, you've heard that, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we repent or turn from our sins, you know, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. Now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He set a day when he'll judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed and has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. That's Jesus. If we confess our desire to have Jesus as Lord, because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With your heart you believe and are justified. With your mouth you confess and are saved. And if we obey him in baptism, after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, after the New Testament went into effect, the risen Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. The risen Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you until the end of the age. Then, on your mark, get set, grow. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, will come to them, and make our home with them. So we've come to the come to Jesus moment. And it's interesting, if you look for that, come to. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You've come to the assembly of God's firstborn children whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God himself, who's judge over all things. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who've now been made perfect. You've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people. You've come to Mount Zion, to the living God, to countless angels in joyful praise, to God's children whose names are written in heaven, but you've come to God himself. To the righteous ones who are being made perfect, you've come to Jesus, our mediator of a new covenant between God and us. The angels were at Mount Sinai when the law was given. They blew their trumpets and scared everyone half to death. The angels are also blowing their trumpets at Mount Zion in joyful gathering, calling the faithful to come and live with Jesus forever in that heavenly city. I'll end with this scripture out of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. There will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Then we who are living at the time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. And you can almost hear the angels singing. Cool. So two mountains stand before those who want to come to God, Sinai and Zion, death or life. But we get to choose which mountain we're going to climb. So this is what they would call a come to Jesus moment.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.